Hey there, Energizer. Welcome to another episode of the Jonesin' For Show. I'm so happy to have you here because today you get to hear from one of my good friends. We have been, I don't know, friends for 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. We go back, we connected via kayak fishing, just one of our passions that we love. And he has inspired me so much with his zest for life, right? With how he just goes after his life, his goals, with persistence. And the network he has around him is huge. And that's what we're going to talk about today, persistence and networking and how that has helped him live his life, right? From being a pilot, from doing fly fishing and guiding, from working for outdoor channels to voiceover work. And he's, now, if you don't know, he's our voiceover guy. He's our intro guy for the, not Jones and Forshaw, it's this show, for the Daily Energized podcast. So if you haven't checked that out, check that out. Hear his beautiful, sexy voice there. You're going to hear it here shortly. But without his persistence, without the networking, he wouldn't be who he is today. And he's kind enough to share that with us and to share it with you to help you make sure you are living your life to the max. So without any further ado, let me announce and welcome my good friend, Paul Hansen. Thank you so much for being here, buddy. I appreciate it.
So thank you for having me. You know, I've been following you and watching your journey, and it's inspirational. I mean, when you're doing the fitness program, you inspired me to get off my butt. And I mean, every day, you know, my home gym here, just like you.
Crushing you know, it, man. I love seeing the weight loss that you've had, the success you've had, and, you know, and the fluctuations, right? Because we both have good and bad days and times, but you keep bringing it. It's, again, that persistence, and that's helping you be healthier so you can be there for your family and to do the things you love to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
So tell us, you know, I said a little bit about your past and what you've done, but how about you share with everybody here a little bit about your past and who you are so they can get to know the awesome Paul that I know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I started off like everybody else, graduated from high school, went to college, still fumbled trying to figure out where my place was in the whole world. And I had a stint working in the outdoor industry. I worked for Rollerblade. I worked for the ski industry. Still not really finding the love and of my what I really wanted to do. It was fun, but there just weren't out the opportunities. And I eventually went to flight school. And, you know, from flight school to becoming a pilot, there's been some, you know, journeys along the way to where I'm at as a Airbus captain now for a major airline here in the United States. You know, it's been, I started a travel agency, taking people fly fishing all over the world, doing videos and things for ESPN, the outdoor channel, and then working with another guy, and we were able to travel and then turned into voiceover of all things.
That's awesome. I love it. So you know, we were chatting right before this and you said that, you know, the whole pilot enter everything has had a journey of its own, right? From the fly fishing and taking clients in your agency, that's a journey. Can you share a little bit about the journey of becoming a pilot and that networking that has helped you? Or if you have another story you'd like to share about how really keeping the right people in your life has helped you? Because I know for me, once I found and kept those relationships open, right, that networking with the people who resonate with me, who I love, their story, their mission, their purpose, and it resonated with me. Once I got aligned and worked with them, amazing things started to unfold for me and my family. I would love to hear how that unfolded for you.
Well, yeah. My first flying job, I got hired by a regional carrier, a local carrier down in Milwaukee, called Skyway. And I was down there. You go to ground school. There was, I think, 8 of us. This is 1995. And you're in the class and it's essentially they open up a fire hydrant of knowledge and you've got to drink out of it. And it's, you know, 10-hour days, 7 days a week. And they just throw everything at you. So we're into the first week and things are going good. Second week, they came in the morning and said, hey, you know what? You know, the industry is very volatile and we're really sorry, but we're going to have to let everybody go. So we're all furloughed. So you stand there kind of numb going, well, now what?
Right.
You know, what am I going to do now? For me, I'd been a fishing guide. So I went back to what I did.
Right.
Rode drift boats on the river and guided. And one day I had a client and his name was Glenn LeClaire. And unfortunately, we lost Glenn too early a few years ago. But Glenn gets in my boat. We're going down river. And he said, you have got a great job. You're outside. You're taking people fishing. It's your passion. You enjoy it. You're getting other people excited about fly fishing for smallmouth. And I said, well, I'm thinking to myself, it's a job. You know, I got to pay my bills. And I said, well, I just happened to be a pilot and I just got furloughed from the regional carrier I was working for. And he said, look, he turns around while I'm rowing the boat and he says, really? I just so happen to own an airline. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a doctor, a lawyer, and I own this river. And he goes, no, seriously, I own an airline. And I said, really, what airline do you own? Because we all know Delta, American, United, Northwest at the time, et cetera. And you're like, who owns an airline? And why would they be with me? And he owned this charter company. It was 727s, and we flew the Jazz and the Lakers and the Bruins, and the baseball teams, all the professional sports teams to their games. And we did rock and roll tours, and we did all this stuff that you don't see as a normal traveler. We're right. Kind of parked off into the outskirts of the airport. And I said, really? Well, if you own an airline, do you know this guy and this guy? Because I knew guys that had worked there and I just didn't have the qualifications quite yet or compared to the other guys that were applying. Right. And he said, yeah, I just saw them recently in our office down in Edina. And I'm like, really? So we get done. I'm asking him how he started the airline, what inspired him to start it, where he came from, you know, and just asking just questions because everybody has a great journey and we can all learn from it. So at the end of the day, he says to me, do you have a resume? And I said, yeah, because I always kept one in the car.
Smart.
And because you don't know who you're going to meet ever. So I always kept one. So 2 weeks goes by and I don't hear a word. And I'm like, well, that's pretty typical. You know, you give somebody a resume. Oh, we'll get in touch with you. And you don't hear anything. Well, I get a call on a Wednesday. And it was Glenn. And he says, hey, how's it going? I go, I'm doing great. He goes, what are you doing next Monday? And I said, well, I've got a guide trip on Monday, but I'm open on Tuesday. You want me to pencil you in? And he says, no. And I'm kind of dumbfounded. And I said, well, okay, what can I do for you? And he goes, I want you to cancel the whole season.
Oh, my God. Like,
well, this is my money. You know, you want me to give up all my money? Obviously my brain's doing one thing. And I said, well, really, why is that? And he said, because you start ground school on Monday because you're now going to be working at Champion, which was the name of the airline. I'm like, well, okay, that's great. But I never interviewed. And he said, well, like I told you, I own the airline and you interviewed all day.
He paid you for an interview. Like, holy crap. That's awesome.
Yeah. He paid me for the interview. So, I mean, who knew? And I was relaxed. So it's not like going to an interview where you're, you know, tense and trying to make sure the right words are said and the wrong words are not said. And I said, wow, okay, cool. And before he told me where it was and the training and what I needed to bring. And the last thing he said to me, he says, do you have the written test completed for this position, which was the flight engineer position? There was three pilots in the cockpit, and the flight engineer was where you would start. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, you better have it by Monday. And I'm like, Okay, I haven't studied. I went to a testing center in Chicago and just went tick, 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 tick for 2 straight days and just looked at answers and questions and got 100% right. Hauled back home. And yeah, that was the first time I got anything 100% right.
Holy cow.
But I got home and I started and I had a 12-year career there.
Wow. That's incredible. All from a fishing trip and just being open and chatting and showing, like, what really resonated with me is that you're showing your passion, your love, you're relaxed, you're on the river, you're doing what you love to do. Although it was a job, you still loved it. And yeah. that showed through to him and he saw, oh my gosh, you have this amazing job. And he saw your personality and said, well, you're looking to move or change careers or shift. Like, here, let me help you because we can make that happen for you.
Absolutely. And we remain friends. When I bought my first townhome, because I grew up in a family that didn't have a lot of money. So I had my dad and kind of like the rich dad, poor dad. Right. Glenn was my rich dad. And so when I bought my first townhome with my wife, you know, he came to the wedding and then I said, I want you to see my house. And I said, every time I bought something large, like a house, and he would come, I go, it's because of you that I'm able to do this.
Wow.
And unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years due to a stroke. But while he was in the nursing home, I still showed up. I brought my Labrador with, and people in the nursing homes just love touching because it's such a sterile environment. But I'd bring that dog and she would lay next to him. Huh. And that way it was for me that I could give something back to him that he had given me. Right. And it doesn't have to be material.
Right.
You know, there was a respect, there was a love for him and his family for what they did for me. And I still go, you know what? I have this because of what one person did out of the kindness of their heart. And it led to the next job where I was nice to somebody. And they then helped me out. And I thank them every year. And like I was telling you, you know, I was in a position where, you know, in between the flying, this is where the bumps and waves come in. You know, it may look like everything is just absolutely perfect, but you don't know the struggles that people are going through. And I'm pretty upbeat and I'm goofy.
Right.
And as you know, I wear a lot of goofy pants. And just kind of like your suit days. But nobody knew the pain that was actually going on.
Mm.
And, you know, we went from, I got a corporate job, which was a contract deal. When the airplane went away, we couldn't qualify for any assistance. I was turned down 13 times for food stamps to feed my kids and my wife. And we weren't living a lavish lifestyle. We were living a very basic lifestyle, you know, one car garage and, you know, living in the burbs and that we were living out of a food shelf. Nobody knew that. And I didn't need to tell that. But, you know, my focal point was making sure that my kids were fed. They were happy. They were safe.
Right.
That was the key. And I remember we'd bring the food home. I remember sitting in the food shelf parking lot, just bawling my eyes out. And I walked in and this old man in the church basement, and he saw that I had been crying. My eyes were red and I'm, you know, inflatable bags under my eyes. And he put his arm around me and he said, you know what? Every now and then we need a little help. And this is okay. And we got you covered. Which then like turned on the floodgates and then, you know, you're like, oh my God.
Hey, sorry to butt in like this, but I have something really cool I want to share with you. Something that I know it can help you live your life to the max. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a roadmap that gets you to your destination. What do roadmaps do, right? Well, you have your destination. It shows you how to get there, the best way to get to that point. And you know what? That's what I have. What is this roadmap I'm talking about? I'm talking about my book, Chase Your Passion. That's right. You have a passion. You have a destination. You have goals, dreams you want to achieve. But maybe you're confused on how to get there. Maybe you're feeling stuck. Well, my book, Chase Your Passions, is that roadmap. It guides you through how to create that plan, how to create that roadmap, how to get over hurdles so you can have success. So if you're ready to ditch the excuses, if you're ready to get unstuck and ready to have success, to taste success and feel amazing, to achieve your goals and dreams, get your copy of Chase Your Passions. It's available on Amazon or just head to my website, SpencerMJones.com. All right, let's catch y'all later and let's keep chasing our passions. Let's go.
I would bring the food home and the kids, my daughter, I think she was 8 at the time or 7, and she would go, "Did that come from the special store?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And it didn't mean, you know, it wasn't like, "Well, I want Wonder Bread," instead right. of like, you know, what, I mean, they didn't care. And when we rewrapped gifts that we got at Goodwill, because we didn't have any money, they didn't care.
Right.
You know, so it's how you how you keep them mentally healthy as well as yourself mentally healthy. This is a temporary setback. It's not going to be forever.
Right.
If you don't allow it.
Well, and that's the thing that really stands out to me is it's a temporary thing, right? We all have peaks and valleys in our lives, right? And the peaks of summits, they're amazing. We get to enjoy them. You got hired on as a pilot. You get to live that dream. Well, then the plane goes away, right? Things happen for whatever reasons. And all of a sudden you're in a low and you're living off a food shelf. And it's heartbreaking for you because you lived a hard life growing up, had a hard life, and you saw that. And now you're like, "Well, I want better for my family." And it was better than it was worse. And we all have those things, whether we show it to the world or not. Right. And many times we like to hold it in. And men especially, I feel like men, we really keep that to ourselves. We try to hide it and not show it to the world because we want to be manly or whatever. But the truth is, we all go through tough times, men and women alike. We all go through tough times, and that's okay. But you don't have to stay there, right? And I think that the struggle that so many people have is, well, okay, well, this is a bad thing. Well, this is our life. And I'm stuck in this mindset, the mindset of life is crap. All the negatives in the world, this is happening. There's no positives here. As opposed to, what are the positives? How can we make the best out of the situation? And how can we keep going towards something better and keeping those connections with people, the networking, but also the connections with your family to keep yourself healthy and thriving, even with physical struggles, like not having enough money to buy food or not have food stamps and all those things, that you still have a really positive, wonderful life. And you can keep working to improve that life financially, emotionally, spiritually, all those things as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those are, for me, were the motivations, you know, going, okay, this is temporary. We're not going to be here forever. Just hang with it. It's going to get better. And there's a difference between hoping and praying it's going to get better and actually taking the steps to make it better. And that's where, like I mentioned to you, I really feel like I need to reinvent myself every so often. Yep. Every few years, it's a reinvention of my goals, how I feel in my heart and my passion. My family passion will always stay the same.
Right.
Unless they put me in a nursing home too early.
Then it's all out of the window.
Then it's all,
I love
it's all done, you know. Game's over. No soup for you. But the passion for my activities, you know, what is it that is my drive that makes me a better pilot, a better dad, a better friend, a better husband, not necessarily all in the same orders. But you need to have the drive and the passion. And the one thing, like I mentioned to you, persistence. If you've ever watched the movie, The Founder, about McDonald's, and you can find it on Netflix and stuff, but Ray Kroc's whole thing was persistence.
Right.
And it just kind of it reinstated that feeling when I watched that movie. You don't have to, I mean, all the degrees in the world isn't going to make a hill of beans if you're not persistent.
Right.
If you don't have
to get those degrees, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you can't give up. Once you get them, don't give up. Keep your persistence to the next level, to, you know, your happiness, to your drive, to whatever is your passion to keep you going. For me, it, you know, like I told you, it's my networking and my persistence is what I really feel is my key.
So let me ask you this question, because there are people who are struggling, right? Who are in that valley right now, where they're listening to this show and they're going, oh crap, I'm there right now. I'm struggling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever it is that they're struggling. And they want that better life, right? They want to have that persistence, but damn, life's hard, right? They're struggling. What advice or what tips can you give them to help them stay persistent? Based on your experience, how can they be persistent and have success and know that that stuff's coming their way? What do you suggest?
Unplug your TV.
It's a great one.
You know, my wife was, you know, you get up in the morning, you turn on the TV and you're cooking breakfast and getting the kids and the talking heads are talking this. You may not be listening, but you're listening.
Right. It's seeping in there.
Yeah. And, you know, life is not doom and gloom. They make it all sound that way, but it isn't. And, you know, getting rid of toxicity in your life, you know, too much time on social media. I'm guilty.
Same.
You know, I mean, you and I have built our relationships off of that.
Right.
But that's not the real world. You know, everybody isn't perfect. You know, yes, I do wear bad clothes.
I like that's things with fun clothes, but that's just me.
Right. Okay. But, you know, if you're in that funk, unplug, go through and figure out where your toxicities are coming from. And if it means going through your phone and deleting, it's okay. You got to flush.
Right. That's huge. I mean, there's the toxicity and negativity. We got to get rid of it out of our life, right? There's an abundance of everything in the world, abundance of positivity and abundance of negativity. And you get more, you get what you focus on. Wow, I can't talk today, apparently. So if you focus on negativity more, I can't talk any day, let's be honest. But if you focus on negativity more, you're going to get more negativity. But if you get rid of the negativity, start focusing on the positives, right? By not turning on the news, by getting rid of those toxic people in your life, you're going to have more positivity come your way. It's that law of attraction, right? What you see, what you focus on, the more you are going to get. But the question I have for you is, if we're talking about networking and we want to keep those connections with people, but, oh man, this person's toxic, they're not helpful, but they could help me later on. They could, but should I burn that bridge? Should I not burn that bridge? What's your take?
Well, you know, I kind of have just put them on the back burner. I'm not going to reach out to them if it makes me feel bad about myself every time I talk to them.
Right.
And the people that you do have in your life, keep it nourishing. It doesn't mean you have to call them. I send text messages all the time to somebody, like yesterday. Hey, man, thinking about you. Have a great birthday.
Right. That was awesome. I appreciated every bit of that. It was great.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and that's where you can, the network web stays, not the internet web, but the right web of your networking stays intact that way. And I get calls from people, and I know I can call people if I need something because they know I can give back. Here's a good example. A year ago, I got the chem lawn guy in the backyard spraying for weeds.
Okay.
I realized that, and he had to wear a mask, and it ended up he had been a soccer coach long ago when my daughter was playing in the club level up here in Minneapolis. And we get talking. And I said, he was British. And I said, take your mask off. And I look at him like, oh my gosh, you are so-and-so. Right. And he's like, yeah. I go, what are you doing here? He goes, well, you know, I lost my job. I'm trying to feed my family. I go, hold it right there. You keep doing what you're going to do. I'm going to make a phone call. I get on the phone. My daughter was going to school at Shattuck St. Mary's. I call the head soccer coach and I go, are you still looking for a goalie coach? And he goes, yeah. And I said, I got your anomaly in my backyard. The guy played in the British leagues, coached professionally, all this stuff. He goes, give him my name. So I go outside. He's gone. So I get my car and I'm driving through the neighborhood and I find him and I run out and I give him this piece of paper and I go, call this guy like now. They hired him.
Oh, my gosh.
And every time he sees when my daughter was going to school there, he'd see me, he'd give me a big hug and thank me. I know what that networking is like because I relied on other people who reached out to me to help. Mm-hmm. And last week, the UPS driver who's working seasonally is a marketing expert who's looking for a job. And I gave his information to a friend of mine who owns a marketing company. Whatever, whether he gets it or not, I don't know, but it's the networking that you build by making just a simple gesture.
Right. By reaching out, sending a text, by suggesting a person that you know is qualified or whatever, you're keeping that network fresh and vibrant.
Yeah. Because I know what it was like when I felt I was down in the dregs and someone reached out. I still see that even at the where I'm at today in my life as a blessing. And I'm grateful for it. And every day I'm grateful, you know? And I go, well, you know, I wouldn't have what I have now if it wasn't for the help of these people in my life.
Now, if I could be real with you for a moment, we usually are anyway, but the thought that occurs to me is, I know me before. You know, even when we first met and for a couple of years, I was very, very ego driven, right? My ego was running wild and I didn't necessarily show that, but it was what was running internally. And, you know, I think of, you know, if I got to a place, well, did a person make that happen or did a connection make that happen? Sure. I might've noticed that. I might've realized, I might've thanked them, but my ego was telling me, well, you deserve this. This is da da da, right? Like all that, as opposed to being grateful. As in truly like deep down grateful for that person to give me that opportunity and chance. And now since, you know, I hit rock bottom, I had to figure out who the hell I was and all that stuff. Like sure. To go through that, I realized, holy cow, I have been so lucky, so blessed to have people like that in my life, to have you and to have other people who lifted me up, to raise me up and to network me and put me in those right places at the right time. And I see that. Now looking back, I've had that for my entire life. I've had people in my life and it took me humbling myself as in kicking the ego to the curb, humble to go, oh crap, look, that person helped me. Oh, that person helped me. Oh, I see what they were doing now. 20 years later, I look back and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that for me. And that was so amazing now that I see that in this light. And so my thought is if someone's struggling right now or they don't feel like they have those people in their life, I can almost guarantee you have had some of those people in your life, but you have to just be able to drop that ego, take a look and say, who has helped me? Even a little bit, who has helped me? And recognize them, say thank you for it, right? Whether it's a written letter, a phone call, text, email, or just in your heart saying thank you for that. So send them, right? They could have passed on then and then know that, okay, well, how can we pay this forward? How can I help other people? And because, you know, what you give is what you get. So if I can help other people, well, that's going to help me too. And we're just going to help make this world a better place by getting the people into the dreams, the things, the life that they want to have, right? And it's all about that help and being persistent about it, right? Because life can be hard. It's going to knock you down. But you have to keep getting up and keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as we wrap it up here, what advice do you have for people who are ready to rock and roll, right? They want to make sure they're transforming their life, that they're living their lives to the max. What advice do you have for them?
Don't take yourself too serious.
Oh,
And, you know, and don't let your ego drive the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you put out, don't let that ego drive. I'm an airline captain. I have a lot of responsibility. I could be a complete jerk to my flight attendants, to the ground crews, because I'm the captain. Right. But you know what? I can't be the captain if it isn't for the rest of the support that I get from my flight crew. And I'm not any better than the guy that just sucked out the toilets.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, I'm driving the bus, but, you know, I'm no better. And remember that. Stay persistent. Keep your network chains open. Be open to anything you hear.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, don't take yourself too seriously.
Right. Don't raise yourself on those pedestals too tall. Be humble, but yet have fun. Enjoy life. Life is a fun journey. Yeah, there's highs and lows, but you can have fun on this journey. So make sure you let loose, have fun. Dress crazy like me in my suits or with Paul in his pants and socks. You're a blast. So how can people, you know, connect with you more to see the crazy pants and all the fun stuff, but also to just connect with you, your great mind, and, you know, maybe hire you for voiceover stuff or whatever else to network with you? How can they connect?
Well, on Instagram, you can go to Paul Hansen. That's H-A-N-S-E-N. So Paul Hansen V-O is my Instagram handle. And you can go on there and you can see the adventure and the goofy stuff I do, from homemade curling rinks, which we're in the process of, well, it's going to be warm up here, so we're kind of in a setback this week. But you'll see my journey and my voice. You know, if you turn on the radio one day, you just might hear it.
You never know, right? And that's Paul Hansen, V-O, on Instagram. So we will make sure we link to that in the show notes, which you can find on SpencerMJones.com/Jones4Show. Paul, this has been amazing. Seriously, thank you so much. I appreciate you reaching out and just remembering me, keeping that network open, and know that I am truly grateful for you. Thank you for everything you do for me and everyone. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, bud. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, awesome. This episode has been fan-freaking-tastic. I hope you enjoyed Energizer. And remember, keep your network open, right? Dig your well before you need it. Keep that network open. There's another little saying for you, right? Dig your well before you need it. At the last second, bam, right before the buzzer. Go for it. Live your life to the max. And make sure you hit subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode coming up. All right. Until next time, we'll catch you later.